Blog Talk Radio.
Going. We were talking about success.
And inspiration. And positivity. And never give up.
We had a dinner with Don yesterday. And he's ready to go. He's got all kinds of proposals and this and that. Stadiums lined up. He's got everything lined up. I said, we got to wait for the money, Don.
Wow. Well, so when you start making this, Billy and I had the same discussion.
Yeah. Like bankrolling projects, yeah.
Go ahead, Billy. I'll let you talk about how to show up every day and keep going.
Show up every day, keep going, do good, positive business with people, and people, you build a trusting business relationship with people. You know the deal, Rudy. You've been doing this forever. And, you know, good things happen to good people. You just keep suiting up and showing up, you know?
Well, they claim as long as you're playing ball, someday you'll hit a home run.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, grand slam.
Yeah, so
and,
we're
you know,
playing. We should hit a home run one of these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to keep, we can't tell them to not keep talking and pushing everything else till we get the money. The money's going to come when the buzz gets going, Rudy.
Well, when you least expect it, somebody's around the corner waving the checkbook.
Exactly. Exactly.
True.
Yeah.
Well,
I got some great music today. I want to, where is he? Here he is. This is, well, Susanna is working on this guy to get him on the show, and also Duke from the Four Tops. So,
well, he worked last, he's probably on the road, so that's why we didn't try and get in touch with him.
Right. Well, anyway, let's do this guy. This guy's quite a character. Here we go.
Yeah.
Sly Stone.
Sly Stone. Tell us about Sly Stone, Rudy.
Well, I don't remember much, but all I know is I remember I was thrilled to death to get him.
Oh,
and he tore the place apart, but we never got friendly or anything like that. It was just, I don't know how you would call it. Hello, how are you, goodbye, anything you need.
Yeah, right.
Let me know. He never needed anything, so everything went all right.
The trumpeter passed away yesterday from Sly and the Family Stone, the female there. What was her name? I read it in an article.
God, yeah. She was gorgeous.
Yeah, the trumpeter, 71 years old. She passed, I think, a couple days ago or yesterday or something. I was just reading it. And he settles like a $5 million lawsuit like just a few months ago on back royalties.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was living out of it. He was like homeless or something. And
yeah,
well, I guess he's not homeless anymore.
Yeah. Right?
Am I coming over good?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. Yeah, his attorney is working with my daughter to try and see if they can get him on the show. And they're doing, a book and everything on him. You know,
wow.
It's a shame. The guy that had a great, great show, great organization. And all of a sudden, he just like faded away. I could not
imagine.
Remember
when he was even big, he had a horrible reputation for showing up an hour or two late.
Yeah. Well, he was always on time with us. He never messed up with us that I can remember.
Right, but people would be at concerts. People would be at concerts. He had an awful reputation. An hour, 2 hours late. You can't do that to clients.
No, you can't. No, that's one thing you can aggravate your audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he made my God. He was huge.
What?
He was huge.
Sly and the
Family Stone.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I told you, I was lucky to get him. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's
amazing.
Again, it speaks to the power of the service act that, you know, somebody like him who sold out major stadiums. I mean, I don't know.
I think Woodstock was too early for him, but he could have been one of those guys on Woodstock. He was so influential.
Man, he ended up like broke or something. He was like broke living out of like a trailer in South Central until like recently. Pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Thinks talented. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the $5 million helps him live a nice life the rest of his life.
Yeah, right.
Let's play another little bit of one of his great songs. Here we go.
Start shaking.
Well, I tell you, that's when he came to the club, Rudy, there must have been a lot of college kids that came in to see him.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, you must have had lines way the heck down. I mean, you always had lines, but it must have been insane when he showed up.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Like he was like you said earlier, he was a concert guy. He used to fill up he was like Aretha Franklin. They used to do concerts. One night has dropped 10,000-15,000 people.
Yeah, amazing. And that song "Everyday People," boy, that's appropriate for today, isn't it? You know.
And what about that? Dance to the Music.
Yeah, Dance to the Music. But "Everyday People," we got to live together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big one. "Everyday People."
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get him by the time we get the Soul Festival off the ground. Maybe he'll be back and swinging in group.
I love it. Well, I'm going to change the pace here a little bit. I'm going to give you a little surprise. This is such a beautiful song, and I was amazed to see that this got like 9 million views, this particular song on YouTube. Listen to this.
Tell your story on the. So I'm hoping that a couple of them call today. I mean,
yeah, well, maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah, it makes you want to cry.
Let me put the guest call-in number, 646-929-2451. We know you're out there because I see from the statistics when I go back in and look, and you, we got a lot of live listeners. So, yeah, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Call us.
Right. Yeah, because
oh, my God. So, George is calling us.
On that Facebook.
Oh, I know. Rudy, George and I were together yesterday. I went to an Apple store to have him help me with some of my technical problems. And he was saying, somebody came into the Apple store and he mentioned the Sugar Shack to the guy. And the guy just shook his head and he said, man, I'll tell you some amazing stories about the Sugar Shack. And it was another one of those love stories where he met his wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Hilarious. So, So, I mean, just it was you had a little love nest there, Rudy.
Yeah.
you could have called it the love nest.
The love nest, yeah.
You know,
push number nine.
Yeah. You know, Rudy, all around the city, anytime. You know, I look at somebody in, you know, the right age group and just has the right look, and I just say Sugar Shack, boy, you just see an ordinary day-to-day face light up, and, you know, you can see them registering. You can see them looking back and the memories they had of the place. That song had over 9 million views on YouTube. Boy, they were attractive gals, 3 Degrees. Oops, are you there, Rudy?
Yeah. What'd you say?
I said they those guys were the three degrees. They had over 9 million views on YouTube on that song. They were really attractive girls.
I know their manager real well. He used to live in the Sugar Shack.
Wow. Is that right?
Trying to get a date there. He was a nice guy, but then he went to England. He got so big there, he forgot me. But he gave me a name.
Wow. Were they Boston girls?
I think so, too. I'm not sure. I think so.
You know, when you listen to their voices, they could have easily been the Supremes. I mean, they just had the talent. They just didn't have the songs.
Well, this manager, he was a funny guy. You know, he drove a whip on them. You know, he had them in line and all that, you know.
Wow.
So sometimes you got the wrong, sometimes you might have the wrong management, and you go wrong. Sometimes you go wrong and you go good. You go good and you go bad, you know. You might have a good management, you go bad. You got to, you know, go. It works funny. They just didn't get the break that they deserved.
Yeah,
3 Degrees.
They could have been much bigger. They were very talented, very attractive. Well, anyway, we got some big developments with the good shirts that we might get Sly on. And, of course, like we mentioned, Duke from the Four Tops. Was he the lead singer, Rudy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the lead singer was Eli. Levi.
I remember having a live album of those guys of a soul club in Detroit. That's right. You come on. Eli! Well, listen, why don't we, let's play a little Four Tops. My God, these guys were just off the charts, weren't they?
Baby, I need
Hearing it so good, but great. I'm glad to hear that. Boy, those guys, man, could they give you a feeling, huh?
Oh, I'm telling you. I told you that the first time I ever saw people get up and dance on the tables.
Man. Between them and the Temptations, they owned the radio stations. I mean, them, the Beatles, the Stones, but, I mean, as far as Motown, you know, they had that British invasion, and you know, America answered with the Motown invasion. What party did you go to? What, you know, radio station that you heard the Four Tops and the Temptations and the Supremes and Smokey? I mean, just amazing, amazing music. I mean, I can't. You know, I just get chills listening to those guys. What do you think, Billy?
Absolutely. Even, you know, I'm a younger cat, but I remember being a young boy, and that music hit me, struck me, like, as a young man. And yeah, I was like, wow, this music is crazy. But I fell in love with it at a young age myself. And even though it was, like, you know, before my time, I just still, till today, I love soul music. Love it.
So, Rudy, how did you become close with Duke?
It's amazing how music just sort of fade away with these new hip hops and disc jockeys. Disc jockeys are making up to $20 million a year for spinning records and pushing buttons.
Yeah,
amazing.
Digital.
I know.
Pushing buttons, exactly. Yeah. Crazy.
I can't believe it, the way I grew up.
No,
on
you don't.
And then I went to the Sinatra area, then into the soul area. And now there's nothing to hang on to, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, there's nothing. What gives you the feeling that you just got from that? So what guy has never been in that situation, or even woman? You know, it's just like, baby, it might be a sign of weakness for a man to beg, but I'd rather beg than be without your love. You know? Right? How many of us have begged? How many of us have begged?
I ain't too proud to beg. No.
he was something, boy, when that song came out. I ain't too proud to beg.
Yeah.
Oh, that other. Oh, God, yeah. Now,
So, Rudy, how did you get close with Duke? Because you had this great connection with him when we were doing the shoot.
Well, you know, I can't hear you too good.
Oh, I know. It's this damn cell phone. It's this damn cell phone. My other phone ran out of battery, so bear with me. But Duke, how did you and Duke get close from the Four Tops?
Well, I was close to all of them, the whole four of them. They were very, very nice people. They they're very respectful, everything. It was like a family affair with all of them, you know. And then,
that's great.
We have a,
great.
You know, it's just, what can I do? Anything you want. They were very happy. We were happy. We would every time we run into each other. You know, the groups used to float around the audience too, and everything. You know, another when we start rapping and everything. You know, things like that. You know, general conversation. You know.
Yeah. I mean, that was the beauty of the Shack. It was so intimate. That you're right. They'd reach forward into the audience and let them kibitz and yell and touch and it's beautiful.
We'll never see that again.
Well,
ever.
Well.
Right?
Unfortunately, well, let's play another one. Here we go.
My favorite.
When I see your face.
Unbelievable.
That's a good one.
You know, Rudy, I mean, I've been so busy lately. I just got back from Chicago. I was performing out there. And, you know, of course, the trip to Vegas, and I'm trying to get everything, you know, organized again. And so, I mean, to do the show today, I had to put a lot of things aside, and I started going through, you know, and picking out music. And, you know, it just, I can't, every week we do this, I you know, whatever my feelings are at the time, whether I'm concerned with a million things I got to do, you will stop and listen to this music. Inevitably, without fail, my whole energy shifts. And I can feel the chills, and I can feel the vibration, and I can just feel a smile come up on my face. And this is just beautiful, beautiful music.
It's unreal. Unbelievable. It goes right through.
You know, and not to compare artists, but, I mean, it just did. I mean, Sly had that big funk thing. I mean, it was amazing how there was the funk side of the groups that came through there with George Clinton and the Funkadelics and Sly Stone and, you know, a few of the other groups that we played. And, you know, what that did, I mean, that got everybody moving and dancing. But then, and then the 3 degrees with their romantic thing. But, you know, the Four Tops, I mean, you start to understand who the real giants were. And, you know, it was the Four Tops, the Temps, you know, Smokey. And they not only had the rhythm and everything, but the words. You know,
yeah,
the lyrics
were amazing.
It's unbelievable. The lyrics, they made so much sense.
You know, I mean, whoever, you know, wrote and imagined those songs knew what every human feels when we're overpowered by love. You know, I kissed, you know, I see a picture, I kissed it 1,000 times.
Yeah, right? It's like a story.
Well, let's play a guy that you suggested that they team up, and you put this package together. And the night that I performed for and opened for both the Four Tops and this guy, Frankie Valli. Let's listen to him. What a combination that was.
Thank you.
Tom. You got it, Tom. You got it. The show is working perfect. The music, a little conversation.
That's it. Beautiful.
It's working,
you know,
out beautiful.
This stuff, you know, you listen to the Four Tops and you say to yourself, now, who could possibly, your idea was to put those two groups together, Frankie Valli and the Four Tops, and you say to yourself, now, how could anybody follow the Four Tops? But there's a guy that could follow them.
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
go ahead, Booty.
The Sahara would have had a hit show on their hands if they were a little patient, because I had that idea. I put the bug in his head to do the Four Tops. We were going to do it in the Sahara.
And Rudy, yeah. I want you to let's stop for a second and think what's going on here. That guy that just sang that song, we've got about 15 minutes of video on that man talking about you.
That's wild.
That's cool. How cool. That's legendary. That's like legendary status right there. That's legend status.
Talking about you and talking about the nightclub scene in Boston. And Rudy, when this show goes up, when this documentary goes up, the world's going to stop, because we got something so powerful here. And the world doesn't. I'm going to tell you, I believe in the cosmic, let's call it the cosmic muffin, the universe, the thing you can't see, the invisible force. And I was sitting here the other night after one of the football games, and a commercial came on, and I had my back to the screen. And I was I didn't know what was going on, because I heard a woman's voice singing Christmas carols, but she was all obviously black and obviously a soul singer. And it kept going. And all of a sudden I heard Stevie Wonder's voice. And I turned around, and it was the commercial was filmed in Stevie Wonder's home with all the Christmas decorations. And it was obviously his wife, and then his kids also sang. And it was almost 2 minutes without a word other than their singing. And all that appeared at the end was a symbol for Apple computer. And I said to myself, yeah, and I went, you know, I got a feeling that we're going to go to Stevie's house. I mean, you had some good news last week that somebody mentioned that there's a good chance they're going to enter. We've got 3 or 4 people knocking on Stevie's door for us.
Well, that's good. That's good that maybe we'll get through to them. I'm anxious to see how the reaction is, because I know we had a nice get together. I'm anxiously waiting to see what he would say. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, already we've just got a cavalcade of amazing people that are just known like. You know, like Frankie Valli, like the like the OJs, Walter Williams, and this and that, and you know, and Eddie, and it's when you really think of what we did in a short 3 week burst of just things falling into place, and you know, I like to compare it to the wave. You know, it's like we're surfing, and that huge wave came in that we just had so much success with the shoot in Las Vegas, the shoot here with Tavares and the OJs and the Spinners and Main Ingredient and Harold Melvin and, you know, Blue Magic, the Emotions, and we're just beginning. I mean, so many people have been promised to us now, Smokey Robinson and the Manhattans and the Stylistics and Shylights. I mean, we've got an amazing piece of documentary to bring to the world here through the Back to the Sugar Shack.
So cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Very
really
moving.
Cool.
I want to bring, this is a great Four Tops song, and it's just, and then I'm going to follow it up with a real surprise at the end.
listen to these badass dudes. These guys, you know, of all the groups, you know, the certain ones, you're right, Rudy, no group outshined the other, but boy, oh boy, you just had your favorites. And God, the fact that we were in the room interviewing these two cats was one of the highlights of my life. Here we go. They're going to follow up with the state title. Yeah.
Tops, dude, when she was my girl, And then the OJs right beside him doing a medley back and forth, you know, swapping off. I can see.
Amazing.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'd want to be the producer for that one. Get these cats together. Go, look, I want you guys to work on this. I want you to sing When She Was My Girl, and I want the other guys. She used to be my girl, and I want you guys to just go, because those songs are so close and so amazing.
Wow.
And Rudy, all of this music was in your 300 seat club, night after night after night. Crazy.
What did Jerry say? They stopped 500 in there.
Oh God, yeah, it was just insane.
Insane, huh? Wow.
Insane.
We had,
you know what?
Yeah, we sat about 275, I think. But we had two bars that held about 600 people.
Wow.
That's awesome.
You know,
the
Rudy,
standard,
you're right, man.
The standard rooms
say,
were the bars.
Rudy, had
big, giant bars.
Rudy, the night that I told you that we came up from Connecticut, and I'll never forget the whole night. You know, picking up the phone in Storrs, Connecticut, University of Connecticut, challenged by this Pittsburgh Ed, who was a soul freak, and he said, no, man, we got some clubs in Pittsburgh. I said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. No, whatever you got, you don't understand. Yeah, you think that club, call them up and see who's there tonight. And I picked up that rotary phone that was sitting on the wall, and I called the shack, 482-00. What was it, 482-0035, was it?
I don't remember.
86. I remember, 482-0086. And I said, yeah, Sugar Shack. I said, yeah, just tell me who's here tonight. And I could hear them in the background. They were already doing the first show. So we got Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. And I said, how's Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions? He goes, dress up, we're going. And we all put our suit coats and ties on. And about four of us jumped in a car, and I had a big old Oldsmobile, 98, and I was cruising down the Mass Pike as fast as my leg I could push that thing. We parked, we come downstairs, and I'll never forget that door opening and the lights. That was what gave me the inspiration to do a movie someday. The lights hitting the three of those guys in their white tuxes, and them doing keep on pushing, and the place going crazy. And, you know, I was there on every night that it was jammed. But, I mean, it's a place. It was a Thursday night, and there was a party going on in there that, you know, we could only squeeze in at the bar. We couldn't even sit together at the bar. We had to break up. And
wow.
And that was the night that I sat beside the guy, and Sugar Shack Otis was running around going, I got one more. Who wants that picture? And he took out a bunch of bills, this guy, and he tapped one of the bartenders. He said, bartender, would you send Otis over here?
Great story.
And I'm looking at this cat all alone, sitting at the bar, dressed to the nines, and he says, Who's looking for me? I got one more. Who's looking for me? I am Otis. I am looking for you. He says, What can I do for you? I want a picture.
I wish we could find that Sugar Shack Lil. She would have a ton of stories. She roamed that. It's unbelievable. Sugar Shack Lil.
Oh, she was a pic. She took pictures too, right?
She was there the most. I think Sugar Shack Otis was there at the beginning, but then he left or something. But Sugar Shack Lil was there most of the time.
Wow.
Most of the years that we were there.
And it was just a party. That was the thing about the Shack. It wasn't a club. It was a party.
Wow.
And it was... And it wasn't just the audience that was having a good every entertainer there had a ball, right, Rudy?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Everybody had a ball, only me.
Yeah.
I had my heart in my mouth until the end of until we closed the doors, and then I went, wow, another night.
Yeah.
Was, one could imagine.
It was such an exciting place. It was so exciting.
A lone wolf, like they call him, somebody that was trying to show how tough he was and how many guys he killed to explode, you know? But it never happened.
Yeah. Every night, you know, that's the part that I can tell as a white kid from Roxbury going in to what I sensed was impending danger at any moment. And, you know, I tell people the only time I got afraid was when I had to pee. Because that was the only place was when I went in that men's room. It was the only place that you or a sticker or one of the bartenders couldn't see me. And I'd be alone in there. I'd be the only white guy in there. And, you know, and these cats looking at me like, what's this white cat doing in here? And then the 10 feet in the one stall with the reefer smoke pouring out of it like a chimney. You know, you got high just going to take a leak. You know, and I would just go in there. I wouldn't look at anybody. I wouldn't do anything because there was always somebody in there. It was always a gang of guys in there smoking dope or something. And I'd just go in and out as fast as I could, getting back to safety. Oh, my God. I used to say I could get a knife in the back.
The only arrest I think we got in that club was the police came in one day and they says, look at what we found in your men's room. I says, how dare you? My men's room is as clean as a whistle. You guys must have planted that. Hey, don't talk like
good.
That. I run the cleanest place in the city. I says, what are you talking about?
That's beautiful.
And they wrote me up.
No kidding. What'd they find? Would they find some marijuana?
That's another long story. I got inducted into the Hall of Fame of the police department.
I'm 68 years old. It's been, you know, at least 45 years for me of, you know, 40 years since for me. And, I mean, it made such an impression on me. The excitement of that little, you know, 270-seat club, and it just was unbelievable. I mean, it was just an experience that, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's – and we get to talk about it, and we're going to shoot it. And I tell you, Rudy, this is a very exciting legacy, and it's magical. Magical the way that
magical.
It's all rolling around. Magic,
magic.
Let's hope we all get rewarded for our efforts and show the world what that little club produced.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, every day is a reward. Today was a reward. I mean, I'm in such a good mood right now.
Right. I second
that, man.
You know, we've got to thank every day for the beautiful blessings every day of doing this. And it's really just the experience of coming out and hanging out with you. I mean, it's like since we started, since George and I started with moving around, starting with the Spinners, and then, you know, everybody going down to Connecticut and hanging out with those guys backstage and going to the dressing rooms. I mean, it's, you know, since I've had a few days to kind of relax, I can't even – I'm trying to process everything that happened so fast. You know, going to Vegas, the OJs, you know, Gladys,
It's Tavares, and these are beautiful. I mean, when we sit with these people,
so
these
surreal.
Are beautiful moments. Beautiful
yeah.
moments. And it'll come out in the film. This is going to be a touching, moving film that we're going to hit the hearts of a lot of people. And it's exciting. So let's keep going with these beautiful shows. We want to thank everybody who listened today, and we want them to call in. But this, these little one-week meetings, we call them, these are our little business meetings.
And they're fun. These are amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's always good to
hang
out
motivated.
With you guys, man. Right?
Well, thanks, Billy. And hey, you, back to the Sugar Sack. And good luck.
Keep bucking away.
We're going to come together.
We gotta get some of those people that posted their stories in the Sugar Shack. They're very excited. They're moving.
We gotta get Susanna to.
Absolutely. We gotta get Susanna. She's the gal. She's our gal Friday. She can get them to call in.
All right, my man.
All right,
we'll see you guys next week. Till next week.
How much fun. How much fun.
Stay healthy and wealthy. If you got your health, you're wealthy.
That's it. Exactly.
There we go.
What a great show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack.